Hello, homies. Today, we have a really fun interview with the absolutely lovely Marcus Fernandez, who is the founder and principal of CHE, the Center for Homeopathy Education. Now, if you are thinking about studying homeopathy, you have just a few days from when this episode goes live to sign up to CHE. So don't waste time. Get in touch with them straight away. Cutoff is the 30th of January. So make sure you get in touch with CHE straight away. If you're a professional homeopath who is not already signed up to their CHE Pro program, I highly recommend it. It has been a game changer in my clinic. The monthly fee is very affordable and you have access to the most incredible lectures. I highly, highly recommend it. So yeah, enjoy the episode. And if you haven't already, make sure you join our Facebook group called Homeopathy Hangout Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we have the inspirational, spectacular Marcus Fernandez on the show. Welcome, Marcus.
Woo-hoo! Wow, thank you. What a great, lovely welcome. Thank you. Great to be here.
And for our listeners, this is recording two because, yes, I lost the first one, which was epic, and we've got to make this one even more epic, right?
Absolutely. These things happen. No worries.
Marcus, tell us how you were first introduced to homeopathy.
Well, I mean, it's a long time ago now. I'd never had homeopathy as a kid. My parents went to homeopathy or traditional family life, working class family life. You went to the doctors if you were sick and the doctor knew best sort of thing. I remember my grandmother doing some sort of home remedies, but not homeopathy, but she, like a lot of grandmothers then in the 70s, that they use different things. Mm. So my introduction to homeopathy really was when I was in a band. So that's all I wanted to be. I wanted to be a rock star. So I was in a band. And that was it. That was going to be my path in life. I would play guitar, I sang in the band. And as a usual musician, you always hold up as a musician. You're just going from gig to gig. And we're about to do a tour of Germany. And I didn't have enough money to take with me because you got paid when you did the gigs. So what happened was I had to go and get a job, which was like, okay, I'm going to get a normal job. And the only job I could get at the time was working in a nursing home for the elderly with people with dementia. And that was so far away from where I was in my head, but I just needed to earn some money working like a care assistant type of role. Mm. I had no experience. That didn't matter. They would train you on the job. But I was only there for a short period of time because I was going to go off and go to Germany. And they knew that. So I started working there. And I really started to really enjoy it, even though I'd never had any background. I really enjoyed working there. And I was having a cup of coffee one morning with one of the nurses that worked in the home. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what, Marcus, you'd make a really great homeopath. And I went, what? I was like, well, have you heard of the word? And she said, I'm doing this course in homeopathy. It's a training course, 4-year training course. I think you should, I'm going to an open day. Why don't you come along with me? I think you should do this. And it was like, what are you talking about? I said, no, I'm not here for long. I'm in a band. You know, I'm going to be a rock and roll star. And she said, no, I think you should come. I've got a really strong feeling you should come to tell you. And I went, no. So I finished my coffee, got on with the job. I thought she was a bit crazy. Every time I saw her after that, she'd go, Marcus, please, I think you should come with me to this open day. And in the end, just to really shut her up, I said, look, I'll come to this open day, but I ain't signing up. I'm going to come along with you. I'll come you to it, to this open day, but I ain't signing up. I'm just going to let you know. Anyway, that pleased her. That I was going to come along with her. And so I thought nothing more about it. And I think it was about a couple of weeks until this open day. Anyway, the day before I was supposed to go on this open day, I woke up with really bad tonsillitis. And I used to get that a lot because I was a singer in the band. And I'd normally go to the GP, get antibiotics. Mm. That was the usual course I would take. I remember that day I tried to get into see the GP, couldn't get an appointment. And I thought, I'm going to try this homeopathy stuff because she's talking about, you know, how good it is for different things. So I got the bus into town, went to the local health food store and went to the homeopathic remedy section. Remember, I know nothing about homeopathy at all. So I go to this section and there's all these weird names like pulsatilla, arsenicum, that sounds a bit dangerous, belladonna. Nux Vomica, which I thought, God, that's what a great name for a metal band. What a great name, Nux Vomica. And I'm surprised if nobody's ever done, after Google it, I was used that word. And then there was a little leaflet so you could look at the symptoms and what you had. Anyway, the remedy that looked like my symptoms, because I had this throat, but I also had this headache, felt really quite weak, was gelsemium. Mm-hmm. So I bought the gelsemium, this Valida, it was a Valida gelsemium, the company Valida, and I bought it. And I took it home and I opened the thing. I thought, well, if this works, then I'll go to the open day tomorrow. And if it doesn't work, I ain't going to go. So I popped up one of the remedies, sucked on it, and I can always remember I was in my front room and I just became really tired and just fell asleep. And I woke up 2 hours later and, oh my God, I was just, whatever, you know, just it took me off to another place, you know. I was just almost went into a really deep sleep, but I was sweating. I was soaking wet with sweat. Oh my God, that's strong. And so I took another one and I continued to do that all day. I remember even going to the pub with my mates and I was sat in the pub. I was just like sweating so much. And they said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm taking this remedy. And then I woke up the next morning, the morning of the open day, completely gone.
Amazing.
And I remember thinking, wow. So I went to the open day. Again, still no intention of signing up just to go along with this friend. So I was impressed, but I wasn't impressed enough to go and join the course. So I go along to the open day and I remember it was the late, great Robert Davidson. Now, Robert Davidson, very famous, he's passed away now, but he was the one who started the first homeopathic college in the UK in the late 70s, lay practitioners, and also the Society of Homeopaths. He co-founded that. So he was a blazing light, really, for homeopathy. And most people in the UK, all the lecturers and teachers from the UK often have been taught by Robert Davidson. Anyway, he was speaking, and he was telling about his cases. He was telling about homeopathy. And I remember, as I'm listening to him, I just remember just going really quiet inside. Really quiet inside. And it was like this stillness that I'd never experienced before. Never experienced it. What I realized what was happening was I was hearing truth for the first time. A truth that deeply resonated with me on a level that I'd never experienced before. And I thought, if what he's saying is true about homeopathy, and I've never heard of it, how come the whole world doesn't know about it? That was the big, big thing. How come the whole world doesn't know about it? And then my second thought was, well, if this is true, I'm going to make sure the whole world does know about it. And it was just like such a clear insight. And I signed up for the course. didn't have any money to do the course. But I signed up for it and I just trusted that the money would come for me to do it. And I started in that September. That was, I think, April, May time. And I started this. And that was the journey. And that was, I was only 20, 21.
That's so young. You know,
30 years ago. I've told you my age now. 30 years ago. But it feels like, as I'm telling the story now, it feels like it was yesterday. Mm. It was a moment. And I really, truly believe that, Eugenie, you may agree with me, you don't discover homeopathy. It finds you. Especially when you train as a practitioner, it's a calling. It calls you, and it's whether or not we hear that call or we heed that call. Mm. And I found when I've interviewed people for in the courses over 25 years that this is what I hear the most: people saying, "I've wanted to do this for years," or "This has been calling me for years, and now's the right time for me." Mm. So that's homeopathy, and wow, what a journey I've been on since that. It's just, you know, and I'm grateful as well in some ways. I mean, I was really young. Obviously, you don't feel that when you're 21. You think you know everything. But what it gave me was the philosophy for the rest of my life, really. And I'm so grateful it's in my life. It's now in the life of my children. It's in the life of, you know, my family and community. I just feel very blessed that it found me, really.
Yeah, I just do not know how you do life without homeopathy. I say that often. Now, I have a challenge for you and Luke Norland and Fred Schroens, because I have heard that you're all excellent musicians, to start a band called Nux Vomica. Oh, yeah. And homeopathy, because I interviewed Gabrielle Traub today, who started Homeopathy Awareness Week. So I think you guys need to get together and release a single from the band Nux Vomica and get it out there. We can use that as a fundraiser.
Absolutely. Well, we could do a good cover of Good Vibrations. You know?
Excellent.
Good Vibration Beach Boys, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Excellent.
Well, a lot of musicians, I mean, a lot of musicians use, I mean, I've treated them, you know, but also, you know, it's in the press, people like, you know, Roger Daltrey from The Who, and, you know, there's
and Cher,
lots of
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big homeopathy. Amazing. So I think Mark, George Harrison as well, from what I remember, George Harrison used homeopathy as well.
Incredible. Now, Marcus, you are also passionate about educating homeopaths. And I just want to say before we get into this, the, you know, CHE and Center for Homeopathy Education, a huge thank you from me, because I discovered CHE maybe, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago when you started the professional program. Yeah. So you could have a membership, and it was only, I think it was only about $30 a month with a conversion for me. So it was really affordable. It is really affordable. So when this, I don't even know how I found out about it, but there was this email that went out, and it said that you started this monthly membership, and you can then, instead of purchasing a course outright, you can get this monthly membership and then get access to all the courses. And that was the single best thing that I ever did in my practice, because there's this excellent course on Robin Murphy. There's, you know, the incredible Hilary Dorian, Caroline Gaskin, Dionne DeBrett, so many amazing. Oh, Colin Griffith. Oh my gosh. Colin. You. So many unbelievable lecturers. And that really was, that propelled my confidence in my prescribing in my clinic. So for any practitioners out there listening, if you're not already a CHE Pro member, I get zero for saying this, by the way. There's no like affiliateship here at all. It is just, I could just tell you, make sure that you sign up, because it's the best thing that you can ever do for your practice. Having access to all of this incredible, all these incredible lecturers has just been life changing for me. So thank you for making that available.
Listen, it's lovely to hear, because when the idea I had, it was quite a simple idea. I just thought, I want to make the Netflix of homeopathy. I wanted it where it's affordable for people, for professionals, and really just to help raise the standard around the world on the quality of homeopathic teaching. And I just wanted to raise that, and I wanted to make it accessible, modern. As you said, there's a big library of courses, we're adding to continuously. Mm. Also, if we do any paid webinars, it's part of your membership. You don't need to pay for anything extra we ever produce. It's all part of it. And we have a lot of live things. So we have like spotlight sessions, like podcasts we have, but we do it live. We also have like Materia Medica masterclasses. So we're just trying to, and it was also about community, Eugene. Mm. It was about really bringing the global, using the technology we have to bring a global community together. And thank you. It's really lovely to hear. And we've got over 1,100 members around the world on that. And it's great. And it's growing all the time. So we're going to be adding a lot of new stuff is coming up as well, which we're really excited about, and all different areas. But also we like to ask the community, what is it that you would like? Mm. Because we have all the resources here. We have all the, and all the people that teach on there, a bit like our main courses, everybody that teaches you, they're all in full-time practice. Nobody's teaching you theory. They're teaching what they're doing you day in, day out, all different types of prescribing, because I really, truly believe you need the different tools in your practice. Mm. And some you may agree, some you may not agree, but I say be open-minded, because it's about results. If people are getting results, I want to know what they're doing. Even if I don't want to have this Hahnemann saying in the organ, I'll be free of judgment, but you have to be in a place of neutrality and have the patient or the client at the center of your practice. And that means if I'm going to shift my thinking around a way of prescribing that maybe I wasn't taught at college when I trained, if they're getting results, I want to know what they're doing. That's the thing for me. If it works, I want to know about it.
And so, that's where I think your training is set apart from many other trainings. There's this thing called human design. I don't know very much about it, but apparently I'm a projector, and apparently that is like the sign or the whatever personality that has the biggest need for learning.
Yeah.
My Spotify end of year wrap up said I listened to 9,700 minutes of podcasts last year. So that gives you a rough idea. In addition to, I also do a lot of driving. So that's why. And when I'm garden or shop or anything, the podcast always going. Yeah. I have a massive thirst for knowledge. So any course that's out there, any membership that's out there to learn, I subscribe to, but yeah, yours is at the top. And I don't say that lightly. That from somebody who's done a lot of courses because, and I think it's because your lecturers are actually practicing homeopaths as well. So you're not getting theoretical knowledge. You're getting somebody who's in the trenches doing all the dirty work, getting in there, getting them, you know, rolling up their sleeves and getting themselves into the mess of it all, learning, and then using that knowledge and teaching us from all their mistakes. Absolutely. Saying this is what works, this is what doesn't work. And that really comes across in the lecturers. I also just have to say that I'm incredibly, ridiculously excited about the Hilary Dorrian's Master Practitioner course that you've put together, that I'm so excited to be part of. Yeah. It's the hugest privilege to get to learn from her. And I'm so grateful that you managed to rope her into this before she signs off after, well, she'll probably never sign off. I don't know if a homeopath ever quits, but after 40 years of practice, for us to be able to learn from this treasure trove of information and her incredible skill that she has in putting that information across. So thank you for convincing her to do this.
Listen, I'm a good convincer. I don't know what the word is, but but because it was important, because what it's about legacy as well. It's about legacy. It's about passing on, and her passion to pass this knowledge on. And I think I worked out, because she's 40 years of practice, we worked out that all the consultations, she'd done like over 100,000 consultations. And they say, don't they, Malcolm Gladwell says to be a genius or something, it's like 10,000 hours. Well, she's done 10 times the amount of that. And she truly is. She's very humble. And the people that really, really know homeopathy, that are really doing it, they are very, very generous with the time. They're very generous with the knowledge. And for her, she wanted to pass this knowledge on, which it's been incredible. And people will be able to probably get it recorded at some point in the future, but you're not doing it live again. This is the only time she's going to do it live. So,
I've just had my first session a couple of nights ago, because it's 2 a.m. our time here in Perth. And I got up and I was in there, and it was really nice watching it live and being able to comment and seeing the case taking being done, and also your private membership that you have to be able to directly access her and ask her questions. Yeah. I've already put a few of my tricky cases. That was gold. I said to Sharon, who's one of the homeopaths on my team, she's also subscribed to the Master Practitioner program. I said, if nothing else, make sure that you really get your cases out there so we can just get as much support from Hilary as possible and learn from
and this
her.
Is why we encourage, when we encourage that, it's surprising how many people don't really use it as much as I thought. It's like, you've got access to Hilary, and she says it every day, every time she's online, ask me anything. You've got me for this period of time. So what a resource to have. But just going back to your question as well, Eugenia, about learning. I think as practitioners, we've got to continue to learn. I'm the same as you. I'm a course junkie. I mean, now there's so much stuff online you can do, or podcasts.
Oh, so much.
And it's not just homeopathy. I'll look at other areas of life. At the moment, I'm very, very interested in the whole issue around men's health and men's mental health, particularly on that area, which I think is a little bit neglected in a lot of ways.
Very neglected. I'm very happy to hear you say that.
Yeah. And it's really exciting, the project I'm working on at the moment. But we've always got to learn, because the more that we learn, the more that we can help more people. When you're in a place of service, then we're always looking at ways that we can become better practitioners for our clients, for our patients. And so I think we've always got to continue. We can't stay stagnant. Because what happens is, if you stay stagnant, your practice will stagnate. And it's like a direct sort of manifestation of your internal state. We've got to always be learning. Look what's happened the past 2 or 3 years. And you've got to be learning. That's why this point, which you've made really well, is you've got to learn from people that are doing it.
Hi, homies. I just want to take a quick moment to ask for your help. My mum works really hard to create great content for you to enjoy. So if you found value from this podcast, please consider donating to keep the Homeopathy Hangout podcast going. You can do this by visiting www.eugeniekruger.com and click the donate button at the top. Every donation of $10 or more will receive a shout out on a future episode. Thanks.
Because then we all learn, and then the whole community learns at the same time. And it's like, I'm trying to use an analogy here, in the harbor, what's that thing? When the water rises, all the boats rise. So the profession
rises. Netherlands, hey, I think. Yeah. So in the Netherlands, where they have that?
I don't know.
I know what you mean. I've got up with it on the fly.
I can't remember the analogy, but you get the analogy that we all, as a community, we all rise. And I think we need to take a lot of the, I really think the future for homeopathy is also about sharing and community. It's not just about having these figureheads, which has historically happened in the past in homeopathy, you know, the so-called gurus. It's about actually, you know what, we have this information, let's share it. And I think community, and this is what this was the real thing for CHU Pro, it was about community. This is why when we do live Zoom sessions, I have make sure that we do it as a live meeting session so everybody can see. You can put the camera on if you want or turn it off, but at least we can all be and ask questions if we need to and be together. So I think it's really important as we go forward in 2023 and beyond that as a community, we've really got to come together because this is our time. Our time is now. We're living in the golden age of homeopathy right now. Right now. We had a great past, but we're here now because of what's happened this past 2 or 3 years. So we need each other more than ever in order to support ourselves.
I'm laughing because, you know, this is my fifth recording of the day and every homeopath has said that, like, now is the time. Everyone is feeling it. It's palpable in the air that now is the time for homeopathy to shine. And so if you've ever thought of studying homeopathy, if you've ever wanted to be inspired and try a new career, and if you have a passion to help people and grow yourself, homeopathy is like a fast track personal development course. Yeah, certainly as a career, it's amazing. But can you tell us a bit, Marcus, about CHE? How did you come to found the college and what options do people have to study there?
Yeah, well, the journey, well, obviously I said I qualified after that very young age. So I set up CHE back in 25 years ago this year, so our 25th anniversary. Wow. And yes, we're going to have a party later in the year. But 25 years, quarter of a century, it's a bit of a milestone. But again, it has gone quick. I mean, they say time goes quick when you're having fun. And it's been an absolute pleasure the past 25 years to training practitioners. So the inspiration was I could reach so many people in my own practice, and I built my practice. I worked in the NHS as well as private practice. And I mean, I focused in the very beginning when I first qualified with mothers and babies. That was my sort of my clientele, which I focused on. And that really built my practice. But I realized I could only reach, because I had this mission in my mind. I want to remember back at that first open day where I'm going to make sure the whole world does know about it. Well, I realized I could only reach so many people through my practice. So I used to do little talks. I'd almost go on tour. I'd do talks. Anybody would have me. I'd go and talk about homeopathy. But then I realized that was only limited as well. And I thought, well, at the time, homeopathy was very divided in the UK. It seemed very political. You're either a classical homeopath or you were a practical homeopath. And they're quite warring sides. And I thought, for people who don't know what that means, is basically, it's either you give one remedy and wait, and this is very basic, or the other one, practical, is like you give more than one remedy. That's a very, very, very basic explanation. But I thought, well, actually, it shouldn't be about the methodology. It should be patient-driven or client-driven, not methodology-driven. And we should be able to treat anybody that walks through our door. We also have the ability to have a prescribing technique. And so the idea of CHE was that we were going to teach all different types of methodologies. And that was an inspiration really from Dr. Robin Murphy. So Dr. Robin Murphy came over to the UK about 1987, 1988. Robert Davison brought him over. And he did this whole weekend seminar about the different methodologies in homeopathy, which ended up in Watson writing the book of methodologies that came from that lecture. Okay, from Robin. And he does mention that in his book. And Robin was our first patron of the college. Well, it's always been very inspirational to me, but he was the inspiration behind it and he was very supportive of it. And so basically at CHE, you learn all the different ways of prescribing. So we do classical homeopathy. We start everybody with that, with your philosophy, but then we build a layer it. Next thing we do Isiaga's layers. You'll learn organ support. It's not that you forget the other methodologies, you're just learning them. And you're building one on top of the other. Then you'll learn organ support, the Burnett organ drainage. We'll do things like tautopathy, how to give things like drugs back in potency, isopathy. And so basically you've got a tools in the toolbox. So whoever walks through your door, you've got a tool in order to help them. Because one spanner doesn't fit all nuts. So if you only know one way of prescribing, you're then eliminating all the other people that you could treat. And I remember when I was practicing, I worked in alcohol and drug projects, homeless projects, and I needed a different way of prescribing. I needed to be able to adapt my prescription according to the person I was treating and what was happening. So I learned very early on, you have to be very fluid. And Robin really, I was very lucky that Robin took me under his wing when I was about 22. I'd started a course, I think it was in my second year, and really mentored me. And I was very blessed for that. So anything you see with my homeopathy comes directly from his influence. But the thing he hammered home to me was keep it simple and adapt your prescribing to whoever walks through your door. So that's the basis of our training, is that we're teaching you how to do it. The other jewel in the crown is, especially in our courses, that halfway through the course, we expect you to start building your own practice outside of CHE. So by the time you qualify, you've already got a practice up and running. And that was the jewel, because I remember when I was trained, we had half an hour lecture about how to build a business practice, and then off you went. And I was naive. Again, I was young. I didn't know. My lecturer told me, just hand some leaflets out and you'll build a practice. So naively, I did that. And guess what happened? Nothing happened. So I then spent 2 years having to try to build it up. And that's quite, you put that on top of your training, that's a long time. So it's a lot easier to do it whilst you're still training. And we sort of follow the psychotherapist model in that, that you take on clients and patients whilst you're training, as well as our training clinics. This is external. So by the time you qualify, you already have a practice up and running. So yeah, that's the, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes, there, but you have. And so how long is the program, and can people do it full-time and part-time? Is it in-person? Is it all online?
Yeah, we have two ways of training. You can either do 4 years, part, what we call the part-time course. You can do that online, or you can do that in the classroom here in London, or you can do a two-year fast track. And for some reason, our two-year fast track is getting very popular at the moment, because people want to train and want to do it in 2 years. So we, again, all online, and it works. So, you know, there's recorded lecturers that we filmed in the classroom, so it feels like you're there. And you would have seen them on CHE Pro. There's someone there from the Pro, like the Hillary ones and all different things. So, yeah, it feels like you're there. And also we have live tutorials. So there's an opportunity to come together with a tutor and with your group, and we have intakes. So we have an intake in January, and we have an intake in September every year. So, yeah, 4 years or 2 years, it's entirely up to you how it fits in your life, really.
Incredible. When's your January intake? I'm just kind of thinking for when.
It's happening right now.
Oh, right now. Okay.
It's happening right now. Yeah, it's happening right now. So people want to get the applications, just go to the website, chehomeopathy.com, and apply. And I personally interview everybody that applies as a practitioner, because I feel it's really important, because I want to know why you want to do homeopathy. If we're training you to be a practitioner, and it is a training course, and we get to know you really well, even on the online course, because there's live tutorials, I want to know why you do it. And the two questions I always ask everybody, doesn't matter what you put in your application, is why homeopathy? Why do you want to study homeopathy? Why do you want to be a practitioner? And why now? Why now in your life? And honestly, the response over 25 years, what you hear all the time, I was interviewing all day yesterday, is it's calling me. I feel it's calling me. Or the thing is, people are looking for more purpose and meaning in their life. They want to change careers. And that, more than ever, these past 2 or 3 years, people are really saying, I want to live my truth. I want to live my truth. And I want to do this. And I want to do this for me, which is always the best reason for doing it. So, yeah.
That's
I love the interviews. I love the interviews. I love interviewing people, because I love people's stories. I'm a homeopath. That's what I do. I listen to people's stories. I love him. How did he get here? What was the journey? You know,
it is fascinating. It's incredible the privilege that we have to share in people's lives and hear their stories. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And we have people from all over the world. I mean, actually, I was interviewing somebody in Australia, Singapore. We have people from all over. But what brings people together? All different backgrounds, all different ways of living their lives. But what brings them together is their love and passion for the subject. And that's what's amazing. And you can still feel that community even on the online courses. So yeah, it's great.
And for those people who are not, you know, just listening to the podcast and interested in finding out a little bit more, don't quite want to sign up yet, you also have a kick-ass YouTube channel where you have been doing some amazing videos. And it's really great for our home prescribers to go and have a listen to that and learn about new remedies. And the way that you present it is really fun. It's you've got lovely slides there as well. So if you're a whatever type of learner you are, it accommodates you in many different ways. So, can you remind me of the YouTube channel again?
I can give you the link. It's the CT homeopathy. Yeah. I mean, how that came about was that I got asked to write a book. I happen to have here, actually.
How handy.
It's called The Home Prescriber. And Walida asked me to write it and to go along with their range. And it's really interesting to write because I did it during lockdown. And what it did was that it really brought me back full circle from when I first started my practice. Mm. And as I said, I treated mothers and kids. And what I used to do, I'd run these little workshops with my mothers, and it was mothers mainly, just to teach them about homeopathy, things they could do based on a remedy kit, things that they could do with themselves. Because I wanted not just to treat them, I wanted them to educate them about homeopathy. I wanted them to be empowered around the health and well-being. And I think one thing that really stuck out for me during the lockdown was how disempowered people felt around the health and well-being. So writing this, it really brought me back to basics. And I realized that in order for homeopathy to really spread in communities, you have to show people how they can utilize it at home. And so that's why I wrote The Home Prescriber. So the idea behind the book was to empower people and I wanted it in a way that was really sort of like friendly and user-friendly. So the designers did it like remember when you were at school, the exercise book where you put your name and thing on it. So it was, and I got my kids to write little doodles in it. So all the way through the book, there's I'm thinking some little doodles, if you can see them on there, but
yeah, cute. Oh, we'll put this on the Ramble channel for people to go and have a look.
Yeah, and also there's a little like QR code so people can scan that and they'll get access to our home prescriber course for free.
Oh, cool.
So it was just a way to really help people and empower them to take charge of their health and well-being. And then from that, I was asked, why don't you do a Facebook Live every week? Just do the top five remedies for coughs, top five remedies for colds. And so that's what I did. And then we put them on the YouTube channel. And it's been really, really successful because I realized that people want it in bite-sized information. They can download the PowerPoints. And I'm going to say now, those PowerPoints and that presentation, even though it's only 20 minutes, that will take me 6-7 hours to prepare. You know that if you've done a lecture. Because I wanted to make sure that people really got in a really visual way as well as an auditory way. But yeah, it's been really good fun to do. I've really enjoyed it. I did it all last year, just taking a break because I'm going to do something quite a little bit different. But yeah, they were really fun to do. And anybody, just check them out because they're so useful. Homeopaths have come to me and said, thank you so much for doing this. It's a great reminder, you know?
Absolutely.
It's simple, Eugenie. We complicate it. When we go back to the principles, this is what people forget. Go back to the principles. It's like cures like. It's a law of similars. And I always say, you know, the remedy is like keys to a lock. All the healing wisdom we're ever going to need is within us. So the remedies are just keys to that lock. And it can be as simple as that, especially in acute prescribing.
Marcus, how do you see the future of homeopathy?
Oh, don't get me started on that one. Well, I said we're here. You know, we are now, the way I see it is that we need, this is why the college and training people are so important, because this is the next generation of practitioners coming out. And I think the demand for homeopathy has never been higher. I remember talking to Tony Pincus and John Morgan, Helios Pharmacy, Ainsworth Pharmacy here in London, saying, like, you know, during the lockdown, they had queues going down the street outside the homeopathy pharmacy. They had to shut down the website for a couple of weeks because they couldn't deal with the amount of orders. So the demand has never been stronger because people are looking for a more natural healthcare solution. But we need practitioners enabled in order to do it. So, but also we need awareness. And because most people still don't know what homeopathy is. So you go out in the street and ask 10 people what is homeopathy, they don't really know what it is. So education is a big part, hence doing those YouTube videos, Facebook Lives. I say to all homeopaths, please just put something out there just to help, because people are looking, but often they don't know how to find these natural healthcare solutions. So we've got to be more visible. We have to have courage and we have to be seen. Now, I know for a lot of people that don't want to be seen, but we have to. This is our time. It really is. So we have to have the courage to not hide our knowledge under a bushel, but help spread it. And which many people are doing that. So in a way, I think what's happened the past 3 years has just catapulted us into a whole different era. And I think people have lost trust in the medical model, which is really the pharmaceutical model. And there's a lot of people are looking for something else. So to truly be of service, we have to be ready for that. And to do it. So the, to me, the future is very exciting. You know, I'm so excited. I just can't sometimes contain myself. That's why I have to do podcasts. That's why I have to do things like this just to get it out.
Yeah. I actually just interviewed Kay Southcombe today, who's worked at Martin and Pleasance Lab here in Australia for 17 years. And she also said in all her time, this since COVID and during COVID, is the busiest that they have ever been. So it's definitely, definitely a vibe out there. And so many homeopaths saying that they've been busier than what they've ever been. And I know I'm preaching to the converted, and I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but really it is the ultimate best job in the world.
Oh, without
a doubt. We have got zero restrictions in who we can see because of Zoom. You can post the remedies to the client anywhere in the world. There's no more excuses for demographic. And even if you're in a tiny little town and you think I could never make homeopathy work here, you've got Zoom. We've got how many billion people on the planet now, and only, I don't know how many homeopaths there are, but there's not that many, and there's billions of people. No. Yeah. So I also feel like that's why I'm pushing so many of my clients who are really enjoying homeopathy and thinking of career changes, pushing them in the direction of homeopathy, because you can do it around your family. If you've got little children, you can do it around that. We'll go work in a clinic. You can work from home, work online. You can work in
it's such the ultimate. Way.
It really is the ultimate. And if you're somebody that likes to work for yourself, it's just so wonderful.
What you said there, I mean, that was very appealing for me when I first trained, because all my friends got normal jobs and I was never quite normal as far as TikTok world. And so I was in a band. But you're absolutely right. And I think you can adjust it around your, like I do with my kids. I've still got young kids and I like to pick them up from school. And I like to, you know, just be there, be present. And I think I was seeing clients, you know, before lockdown on Zoom and Skype, but actually what it's done for the whole world is just propel them. And I know a lot of homeopaths will say, but it's not the same as being in the room. No, it's not the same. But I'm telling you now, I've had some of the most deepest connected conversation consultations on Zoom than I have it as well in the room. So that's really a mindset. And I think as homeopaths, we've got to get over that, because you're right. We're now in a global community. We're a talking therapy. You can get the remedy sent anywhere in the world. Patients can get that. And so that's how we've got to think, that actually we're now in a global community. My practice, I have clients all over the world. And you're right, you could practice from a beach in the Bahamas, you know, as long as you've got a laptop, an internet connection, you can be really anywhere. And people are okay with that, because the way that, in fact, a lot of my clients prefer doing it on Zoom when they used to come and see me, especially if you've got kids, because you've got to get the kids in and this and that. It's like they actually prefer it. It fits in with their life. So as homeopaths, we've got to adjust to that, I think.
Absolutely. And it can actually work in our favor. I can't tell you how many consultations I've had where, because we always do it over video. So you get to see their background, their home setup, what the children are doing. And it's really helped you with prescriptions. Often I'll make little notes. I remember one client, I was kind of thinking of Serenum for her, but then she did a video call and she was like packed to the rafters with boxes just everywhere. And I'm like, okay, you are definitely getting Serenum.
It's like when you used to do, in the old days of doing house visits. I remember when I first started, I'd do house visits, but the trouble with the house visits, you'd always end up staying longer, and then there was the travel time and all that. So you're right, having that insight into people's homes is great.
It's really great. And a lot of the kiddies, you know, some of my clients will do mix. So sometimes they'll drive in and sometimes they'll do online. And I can actually see the children in their home environment. And sometimes that can look very different to what it looks like in the clinic. So what I'll do is I'll get the parents to flip the camera, so the child so they don't have to sit in front of the screen still. Yeah. They can just go play and do their thing, but I'm observing them as they're moving around in their familiar environments. And you really get to see some things that massively help with your prescribing, that there's no way you could ever know that if they were in clinic.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. It's like, it just gives you some more information. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and adds to what we may need to know, which you wouldn't normally get. So I actually think that, and we just need to embrace it, because I mean, the younger generation coming up, it's no brainer to them that they use technology all the time. So we've got to embrace it. And that's made homeopathy much more accessible again around the world. Mm-hmm. They don't have to just go to, there's not a homeopath in my area. Well, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, that's also a big thing, because often you might not have a homeopath in your area, and previously that would have been a restriction, but it's definitely not anymore.
But one thing I would say as well, that homeopaths really need to take, because I remember this happened to me when I was in practice, probably about 5 years into practice, because I just went for it big time. I was, I was just obsessed. And I would start my clinic at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd finish at 10 o'clock at night. You know, wow. I was seeing people every half an hour at one point, fitting them into my dinner break. And what happened was I actually ended up getting a bit burnt out from, got a lot burnt out from that. So I had to take a break, and I had to for a couple of months and recalibrate how I practice. Mm-hmm. And I think something that's homeopaths really need to also take on board, that the self-care element to being a practitioner, because we've got to walk the talk. We have got to walk the talk. If we're talking about health and vitality, then we've got to be living that, I think. And otherwise, I want to go and see somebody who's more healthy than I am. I don't want to see somebody sicker than I am. So the more that we can embody that within ourselves, the health and well-being, and I call it meds. We've got to think of meds. Meditation, so crucial. That's helped me so much as a practitioner to be present with my clients and my patients, but also to be focused and to be centered and to be grounded in life, but also in practice. Exercise, movement. Even if you're doing Zoom all day, you've got to move. You have to move around. I have a standing desk, but also I set my clock every 45 minutes, an hour. I will move around and walk around. Movement's so important, as we know. D is for diet, eating good food. And a lot of patients will say to me, and clients, I don't know what to eat. I'll say, well, start eating real food. 80% be real food. If it comes out of a box, it's not real. And the last one, sleep, making sure that we sleep. So I live by that those four pillars of meds, M-E-D-S. But as practitioners, we also have to really look after ourselves and our health and well-being, which sometimes get neglected, I think.
Yes, as you say that, I'm standing here feeling a little bit guilty, because it certainly towards the end of last year, it got a little bit like that. It was really crazy. And I looked through my consultations, and I've done 959 consultations for the year. But then I remembered that most of my consultations they're booked as like an extended follow-up, but then it'll actually be a mum and her child. So it's actually more like well over 1,000 consultations that I've done, on top of over 100 podcast episodes. And it all came to a crash at the end of last year with me losing those 10 episodes. But this year I've put much bigger breaks built into my schedule for this year. And I realize I have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Yeah. And also, I'm here for the long haul. I still want to be practicing in my 80s. When I interviewed Jill the other day, and you know, she's 80 and she's still seeing clients. And that's what I want to be doing. So I'm in it for the long haul. So definitely.
Well, that's why we're going to have to look after ourselves. Because what I think happens with homeopathy, because we're so excited and so passionate about it, and we want to help so many people, that it can time, you know, be detrimental, because we take on too many and we're not boundaried, or we're not, like you said, just having the breaks in place. It's really, really important. And like I said, because if you've got to pace yourself, you've got to be consistent, and we have to pace ourselves. So I think it's really, really crucial for that.
Marcus, what is the final message that you want to leave our listeners with, and how can they get hold of you?
Sure. Well, you can get hold of us at chehomeopathy.com. That's our main website. And for CHE Pro, it's cheonline.co.uk. But I think really the message I think I want to sort of share with everybody is the fact that, back to what I said at the very, very beginning, that we've got to live to the truth of who we are. I think that's really, really crucial. And I think for the people listening who have thought about training in homeopathy, then you've got to listen to that as well. For practitioners who are already doing it and out there and been practicing, keep updated with your learning. Keep trying to raise your game. Be the best version of yourself you can be as a homeopath, and be with the like-minded people that are doing it, people that are successful, because that's how you learn. When you're around successful people, you become successful. It's not rocket science, but because it helps you raise your game as well. So I think that's really crucial if you're a practitioner. And if you're a home prescriber, keep prescribing. Get yourself a little remedy kit. Get yourself a little home prescriber book and use it. Try it for your friends and for your family for acute conditions. If it goes more chronic, then you may need the help of a homeopath. But try to do it yourself, because there's so many. Homeopathy can give you so much, and you can treat most things acutely, like coughs, colds, fevers, And the more that you use it, the more you see it work and the more confidence you will get. And just keep it simple. And you've watched those YouTube videos. I explained the three-legged stool. You only need three characteristic symptoms, really. Mm. This is what you're looking for in order to prescribe that remedy. And just keep it simple. Because homeopathy is, in fact, to all those three, all the people I've said to types of people, keep it simple. Mm. Homeopathy is simple. Mm. It is simple. And the more that we can really embrace that, the more that you will get so much joy out of homeopathy. Mm.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, Marcus. I really appreciate it. And I will see you at 2 a.m. next Thursday.
Okay. That's a date. All right. See you there. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.